Wow. Are you living in the overflow? Come on. Well, let me remind you all that we are covered by his extravagant love. And what's love got to do with it? Everything. The Apostle John, he tells us in 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are God's children. Hallelujah. What love he has for us. See, God really loves us. He's our strength. He's our portion. He is with us in a dark valley. He is with us in the fire. He is with us in the storm. That means we are never alone. Say, I am never alone.
I am never alone.
He is with me.
He is with me.
I will not be afraid. There you go. We are never alone. Then that should bring us such great comfort. Right? And it gives you peace of mind. You know? Sometimes you get something in the mail and you open it up and you just think, well, he's right there reading that with you. You know what he's telling you? Don't get anxious. We got this. He says, we're together. Sometimes you get a phone call too. Just remember, he's right there. Because you may think you're not on speakerphone, but with him, you're on speakerphone because he hears you. But I like that. He, God himself, has said. Now, who said this?
God.
Okay, making sure we get that established. He said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. But I want you to know, did you hear that? Did you actually hear that? Because that is God himself who said that he won't relax his hold on you. You getting that? Because he said it. I will not, I will not, I will not. The repeating there is so you get it. Because it's him saying it. See, we are never going down in defeat. Never. Because he said, I will not, I will not, I will not. He's not going to let us fall. He is Jehovah Nissi. You got that? He is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord our banner. The Lord our mighty warrior. The Lord our victory. The God who is powerful enough to overcome any foe is with you. Okay? That's why I want to make that personal to you. That who's with you. Okay? There's a little prayer I wanted you to say with me. And just say this with me. Jehovah Nissi,
you are
my banner. Thank you. For walking with me through all my battles. For the battles belong to you. Help me to remember that you want me to turn to you and to seek your help and wisdom in every situation. Amen. Jehovah Nissi is our victory. You remember that? Jehovah Nissi reigns in victory. Boom, Jehovah Nissi, he reigns in victory. And guess where we are at? We are reigning in victory with him. Nope. And this same God, Jehovah Nissi, he's the one who said, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Now, Psalm 118. We're going to look to verses 6 through 8. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Now, only because I like to search and compare the New Living Translation, because you'll see why I said this. The Lord is with me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Because people's peoples. Sometimes they do not know what they do, and they do not know what they say. Innocent people can speak curses over you. Yeah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's why it's so important you say that every day when you wake up. Because you go through a day, and I mean, a lot of you are work from home. You get emails. You can see what they say in your email. Or you're on the phone and calling and talking to people, and you're sitting there saying, oh, even it just cringes in you. And that's why you got to keep saying that. You got to keep saying that. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Okay. So let me finish that. Verse 7. Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Yeah. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. The Lord is with me. That I will not be afraid.
That's right.
No one on earth can do anything to harm me.
That's right.
Amen. That's what that says in the scripture. Say, I'm living in the overflow.
I'm living in the overflow.
Another reminder to living in the overflow is we are filled and moving with His Holy Spirit. Moving in the Spirit will bring on the overflow. See, He done poured it out. Am I right, Tim? He done poured it out. Question. Are you filled with the Spirit and still not experiencing the overflow? I've seen a few question marks there. Okay. Okay. Now, Tim, listen carefully. This is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Okay? Because, and it's in the ISV, okay, version. Okay? International, okay, standard version. Okay. Stop getting drunk with wine, which leads to wild living. But keep on being filled with the Spirit. You hear what that scripture said? But keep on being filled with the Spirit. Many translations will say, but be filled with the Spirit. In the original text, however, it translates, keep on being filled or feeling to be filled. Implying an initial feeling and the need to keep it filled. You understand that? Because, now, you got to look at this in the Greek, and it says, this is because The word filled here is in the present imperative, meaning a command to do something in the future which involves continuous and repeated action. How many of you pray in tongues? Huh? During the day, do you pray in tongues? Do you ask God for a fresh feeling, that feeling, fearing, feeling you need? Yeah. Let's right now refill our spirit. Right now. I want you to raise your hands. And I want you to say, Lord, refill my spirit to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Fill me now. This is what brings on the feeling. Refill now. Fill me now, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me a freshening, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And if some of you are sitting there saying, what just happened? Because I don't know what that is. Well, if you want the filling of the Holy Spirit, that knowing that you got, because when you got born again, you had the imparting of the Spirit of God into you. But that was to get you in the initial stages. That's all it was for. You understand that? Make sure you understood you needed to get water baptized and that you need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All those that got saved had the Spirit, but they had to go to Pentecost and wait and have it come down upon them. And the only way it's going to come down upon you is if you ask for it. So if you've never had the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you know what? I would invite you down right now. Right now, if any of you have never had that, I invite you right now down. Right now. Okay, it seems like everybody in here is filled with the Spirit. But then you just got refreshing.
That's right.
Because it's so important to pray in tongues while you're at home. You're sitting there, you pray in tongues, and that's a heavenly language. The devil don't know what you're saying. You're talking directly to the Father in his language that he understands. See, it's not something that comes from your mind to hear and out. No, it's what comes from within here. And then it comes out of here. That is where your spiritual language comes out. And it speaks to him. And he hears exactly what you're saying. He knows exactly what you need. But when you pray that, your mind has no idea what you're praying sometimes. You know what you started out praying in the natural, but then you take off in the spirit realm and you pray to him. And things will change. Things will happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get back on track here. Okay, in Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, okay, that means that we're filled in, with the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You hit that? Walk in the Spirit. A walk in the Bible is often a metaphor for practical daily living. The Christian life is a journey. And we are to walk it. And we are to make consistent forward progress. Not backwards. Forward. When you're walking in the power of that Spirit, you're going to move forward. You're not going to be knocked back. You're not going to stop and hesitate. You're going to move forward. in a consistent motion. Because that means we're not defeated.
That's right.
Defeated people run.
Yeah.
They put up the white flag. We are not going down. God got a hold of us.
Amen.
The biblical norm for all believers is that they walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means that you yield to His control, we follow His lead, and we allow Him to exert His influence over us. To walk in the Spirit is the opposite of resisting Him and grieving Him. Ephesians chapter 4. Look to verses 30 through 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit within us is the seal that we belong to God. Mm-hmm. 31. Let all bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And you know what malice means? Intention to do evil.
Right.
Come on, you remember in the old days? Yeah, I'm going to get even with him. That's what I'm going to do.
Correct.
Come on. Am I the only one that used to, remember? When God got a hold of me, he changed me.
Yeah.
Completely changed me. But see, that's what I'm saying. We're the ones who have to make that change, though. That's why I say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, put it away. Don't speak about it. Verse 32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, now that there is a biggie. It says right there, forgive one another. Unforgiveness is a sin. And that causes bitterness in our life. We're warned about bitterness in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Defiled means unclean. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth,
that's right,
this defiles a man. Matthew 15:11, that was. The root cause of bitterness starts when we cling to anger and resentment and start holding a grudge. Instead of responding with forgiveness or love, we may let our negative emotions grow and treat others with a passive, aggressive behavior, hostility, and disdain. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Jesus said that.
Yeah, did.
Jesus said that. That was Matthew 11:25, Michelle. Some of you are still holding unforgiveness in your heart. And it's holding up your answers for prayer. So right now, you need to get rid of it.
Come on.
Nope, we're going to pray again. The Heavenly Father. If there is any unrealized unforgiveness or blatant refusal to forgive another
in my heart,
I release it now. Cleanse me with the blood of the Lamb.
Make me whiter than snow.
Forgive me my sin of unforgiveness. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And He cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. Living in the overflow, filled and walking in the Holy Spirit, we will then enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Tim, just to clarify that, long-suffering is patience.
Yes,
a kinder, more gentler Timmy.
That's right. Patience.
A man who walks in patience. Because
yeah.
You are growing. Don't know you are, my brother. That's what I'm telling you. The reason I point it out is because you're one that I can talk to even right here and amongst all of us. Because they don't know you for as long as I have some of them. And the man had no patience. None whatsoever at one time. Okay, again. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Kinder or gentler Dean. Goodness, faithfulness. And that's what these men are for me. Gentleness, self-control. I remember when we did that one vacation in Bible school and did them. Man, Teresa would start rattling off. She'd go, brrr. What'd you say? I couldn't even hear her speak them that fast. You know, her love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It slowed down, you know. But she said them so many times, she got it down in her. See, the more you say it, the more you're going to get it down in you. Against such, there is no law. That is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Now God, who sent the law, also sent the Spirit. And the byproducts of the Spirit-filled life are in perfect harmony with God's law. The fruits of the Spirit exemplify the characteristics of Jesus, enabling us to fulfill the law far better than someone who observes the rituals of religion. I just give it to you the way God gave it to me. Say, I'm living in the overflow. Living in the overflow is walking in His freedom as well. We are free. Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And Jesus says to those sitting here today who believe in Him, if you obey His word, you are His disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, God allows us to use the Scripture that way so that we can make it identify to us. We are to learn from this. We are to move forward with the teachings so that when we're out there in the world, our light's not just dimly flickering. It's full bright on, see. And people will be drawn to you because our ultimate goal is to get people saved. The harvesting of souls for the kingdom of God. Bottom line, that's where it's at. That's our assignment. He is the source of truth, the perfect standard of what is right. He frees us from the consequences of sin, from self-deception, and from deception by Satan. Self-deception? Oh, we fall into that category. And we have the deception by Satan. He shows us the way. And we got to remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through him. Jesus does not give us freedom to do what we want, but freedom to follow God. As we seek to serve God, Jesus' perfect truth frees us to be all that God meant us to be. Verse 33 there. This is John 8, 31 through 36, by the way. Verse 33 says, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Sin has a way of enslaving us, controlling us, dominating us, and dictating our actions. Jesus set us free from the slavery that keeps us from living in the overflow and becoming the person God created us to be. The sin that was restraining, mastering, and enslaving us, Jesus broke its power over us. Verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free,
yes,
you are free indeed."
Amen.
True freedom is not a matter of doing what you want without restraint, but cultivating the right wants and living in obedience to God's will. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Freedom from sin, death, and condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now in James chapter 1, verse 5, he writes, "When you look into the God's perfect law that sets people free, pay attention to it. If you do what it says, you will have God's blessing. Never just listen to his teaching and forget what you heard." I need to read that one again. When you look into God's perfect law that sets people free, pay attention to it. If you do what it says, you will have God's blessing. Never just listen to his teaching and forget what you heard. Now, God's perfect law is his word. As we look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it, we will be blessed in what we put our hands to doing. God's word brings freedom to those who do what it says. I just like to let that sink in for a second. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Remember when Jesus was in there and he picked up the scroll and he opened it up. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Have we ever been in so much oppression right now? There's so much going on in the world, so much going on in this nation. The cost of our liberty and freedom, it was paid for with Jesus' blood. When he hung on that cross, and I don't know if you remember the Passion of Christ, when they saw that one drop hit the ground, the chain, but he hung there long enough to completely drain of his blood for us. That's, you know, it's not a light thing. That's why when we take communion, you understand that. That's what makes you worthy to take communion. Knowing what he did for you. What he did for each one of us personally. When I learned that he did that for me, I wept and cried. All those years I had wasted without knowing him. Chasing the high life, as the song said. I never found it until I found Jesus. He set us free from the sentence that we were under, and that was a sentence of death. He said, I have come that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundantly. And he wants us to have that life now. Amen. That abundant life is ours right now. We are free to live in the overflow. We are covered by his grace. We have been changed, never the same. My brother, never the same. I think all of you can say, never the same. When you get a hold of it, even though you've walked all the years, when you really get a hold of it, and you say, wow. But I've never been able to go back. I don't ever want to go back. But when he took those things away from me, as he's taken things I know away from you, as we progressed in our walk. But I mean, basically, I was an alcoholic. I smoked like a fiend. I cussed with the best of them. That don't come out of my mouth. I can't, you know, I can get out of my car at Walmart, start walking up, and go, you know, they are smoking on a ramp. And I just, you know, I was there too because I didn't know. Oh, man, does this stink? Oh. Now I'm saying, if you still smoke, I'm not saying, you're still going to go to heaven, but you're going to stink on the way up. But once you make the transfer over, you'll be completely clean. Okay? And you're going to go, boy, something's so different here. Wow. I mean, my taste buds came back. Hallelujah. I don't know where all that's coming from. But praise God. Praise God. I guess I'm laying myself up before you all. There is therefore, right, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Say, I'm living in the overflow. Are you listening, Janice? Are you listening, Janice? Because I listened to what you sent. But I already had this written out. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Say, my cup runs over. Come on, say, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's another psalm that we should be saying every day. You covered it, Psalm 91, Psalm 23, and the Baal Shalom. Woo! Hey, there's people in here that I know I can see miracles working. I can see walking miracles because they are believing. And when you pray and you believe, you receive, you will have what you prayed for. I'm just saying, it's there. There's no impossible with God. None. It falls back to us. When you walk in that door, I think what's it saying about? Simply believe. Simply believe in Him to do what He said He would do and what He promised us in His Word. And we must what? Obey and do His Word. Wow. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil, He says. My cup overflows. That table He sets before the enemy is going to happen on what day? What day is it, Amber? What day is communion? The 27th. She reads it now, my baby. Okay. All right. That is the day when that table is set. He's setting it in the presence of your enemies. And when you come in here and you partake of it, oh, the enemy don't like that. He does not like you to take communion. He'll divert you from taking it. He'll tell you you're not worthy enough. Get that out of your head. Jesus made you worthy. You just got to understand why you take it. Because then when you take it, you will be blessed. You will be blessed with healing in your body. Your finances will be blessed. That's a covenant. And covenants are really important with God. God's provision is so extravagant, it is as though He has prepared a banquet just for us. Or I could say, just for you. Just for you alone, He'll set up a banquet. And the anointing of the head of a guest at a banquet was typically for an honored guest. We are His honored guest at the table. We are His honored guest. We humbly go before Him. Man, He'll take and He'll set us straight at the best seat and give us the best food. And our enemies are sitting there. And they just can't get to you. And you don't have to be. You can sit there and just enjoy your meal. Because you have His peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what you have. He fills our cup to overflowing, filling our life with the very best of everything He has promised us in His Word. Are you living in God's promises of the overflow? His supernatural abundance. It is overflowing with God's provisions of abundance in all things for our life. Yeah. Overflow, in essence, means running over. And every believer is supposed to be enjoying a running over abundance of God's grace, His mercy, and His peace. Running over means we have more than enough for our needs. His name is El Shaddai. Mighty God. All-sufficient God. The God who is more than enough. More than enough to meet every need that you have. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I am living in the overflow.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say that and make that your declaration.
I am living in the overflow.
Start with the first part of it.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. I am living in the overflow.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, you're covered by His love. That's the key, His love. Because He really loves us.
Yes, He does.
He really does.